Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Death came into the world after sin. So when we look at the violence of nature, we are looking at the result of sin. It reveals to us what sin brings in our lives. If we do not get a handle on it, it is going to bring that kind of devastation into our lives if we don't begin to walk in the Spirit.
Feeling like you just don't belong can be a not so good feeling for many of us. But when you become a child of God, you no longer belong to this world. You become part of the kingdom of God, which is spiritual now, but will one day be a real physical place, our future home for eternity. Feeling like you just don't belong? That's a good thing, because we don't belong in this world. We continue our series through Romans in chapter 8 with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Father, we are again blessed by you. We want to thank you that you have given us your word, that you have preserved it from generation to generation. We want to thank you that we are taking time to go through the Bible, and we know it's changing us. It is like a seed that gets into our lives and sprouts up and brings changes into our lives. And we pray that we would know your word more, that we would know it better, that we would apply it properly, that we would rightly divide your word. We pray now as we take time to look at Romans chapter 8, that we would walk out of here with a great understanding as to how we can walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The Bible tells us that at the moment that you are born again, that God brings you from the kingdom of darkness, from the kingdoms of this world, and he brings you into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of God, that you are transformed, that you are changed. The Bible says, old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. You are transformed into a new individual. We know that if we live in this world, that the things of this world conform us to be like the world, but that we want to be transformed by God and by the work of the Spirit inside of us. Now, if we've been transformed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, then we want to make sure that we're not still living like we're in darkness. And that happens, where Christians will kind of stumble and struggle with learning how to live in the kingdom of light because they hang on to the old things. Somehow we feel, I've got to have that. I've got to have that flesh. I've got to have that sin in my life. And we never really learn how to walk the way that God wants us to walk by the very Spirit of God. Jesus said, if anybody comes to me and drinks, out of them will gush torrents of living water. God wants living water to gush out of you into the lives of people that are around you. This is the Spirit that's given, not just to leaders as it was in the Old Testament times. In Old Testament times, God would give the Holy Spirit to kings, to prophets, to priests, judges. But in our time, the Bible says that God pours his Spirit down upon all flesh, and God has filled all of us with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we are all called shoulder to shoulder to do the work that God calls us to do, being filled with the Spirit. Now, the Spirit works three ways in our lives. First of all, it is with us before we came to Jesus. And everywhere we go, by the way, the Holy Spirit is with those people that we are around. Where we work, where we go to school, the Holy Spirit is in you. It's gushing out of you like a torrent of living water, and it is affecting them. Have you ever thought about that? You as a Christian that has the Holy Spirit inside of you, now it's flowing out of you, and it's affecting the people around you. Have you ever noticed that they get annoyed at you about your Christianity? And you might not even have said anything about it to them. They just say, I'm sick of you preaching. And you go, I haven't started yet. There's coming a time, but I haven't started it yet. It is because spiritually, behind the scenes, invisibly, there's something that's taking place because you have been set free, because you have entered into the kingdom of light. You are now walking through this world as a different person. But one of the great tragedies is that Christians end up living exactly like the world. They end up walking around in darkness. The Bible says that your citizenship has changed. That at the moment you were born again, you were no longer a citizen of this world. Did you know that? You might say, I didn't know I was putting in for all that. You become a citizen of heaven. You are an alien in this world. I like to say that you are the real X-Files. And just like people, ooh, we don't understand aliens, people don't understand us. But everywhere we go, we bring the Holy Spirit with us. And before you came to Christ, the Holy Spirit was with you, convinced you of sin, of righteousness, and judgment, the Bible says. The Holy Spirit is also in you at the moment you are born again. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. You are possessed. And there might be some people who have said, I think that person's possessed. You may have thought you were possessed by some evil spirit, but you're not possessed by an evil spirit. You're possessed by the Holy Spirit. And He now dwells inside of you. And unlike a demonic spirit, which is very intrusive and aggressive, the Holy Spirit is very gentle and leads us and guides us. But some of us have not been able to put the things of this world aside enough to be able to hear the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit that is inside of us. The Bible not only says the Holy Spirit is with you and in you at the moment you're born again. By the way, it's important for us to understand every person that is born again has the Holy Spirit inside of them. Some people will say, well, you guys don't believe in the Holy Spirit. It cracks me up when someone says that about a church or about Calvary. Somebody told me that one time. Well, you guys don't believe in the Holy Spirit. What they meant by that is that we don't allow people to talk in tongues in our services. That's what they meant by that. But they said, you don't believe in the Holy Spirit. I said, yes, we believe in a duity, not a trinity. The Father and the Son, and that's it. There's no Holy Spirit. Oh, the Holy Spirit's inside of every Christian. You cannot become a Christian without the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, by the way, that was rhetorical. All right, so don't leave going, Calvary Chapel only believes in the Father and the Son. I heard Robert say it himself, all right? Just to make it clear and take it completely out of context. But nevertheless, at the moment that you are born again, the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside of you, every single person who is born again. But that doesn't mean that the power of the Holy Spirit has come upon you. It may be that you are born again, but the power of the Holy Spirit has never come upon you. Jesus told the disciples, wait in Jerusalem, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Later on in the book of Acts, the same group prayed that they would be given boldness. The Bible says the room that they were in was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So God has given us the Spirit in our lives, actually filled us with the Spirit, that we would be able to go out and make a difference. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 1 starts off with this great passage where it says, there is therefore now, right here, this moment now, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We ended chapter 7 a little bit down, didn't we? For those of you who were here with us last week, when we got to the end of chapter 7 and it says, with my mind I'm serving the law of God, but with my body the law of sin. And we leave with the kind of aspect, you know what, until I go to be with Jesus, I'm going to be dealing with this body and I wish I weren't. But now Romans takes us to that new place where we understand that there's no condemnation for me because I am in Christ. And because I am in Him, the rest of verse 8, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You and I do not walk as believers according to the flesh, but we walk according to the Spirit. Now, many Christians struggle with their flesh for a long time. Many Christians never seem to really be able to gain and begin to walk in the Spirit, but are driven by their flesh. Samson is a great example of that, of one who never really seemed to be able to settle into the Spirit. It goes on to say, speaking of walking in the Spirit in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It is the law of the Spirit that sets me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. As we've made our way through the book of Romans, from chapter 1, we've been dealing with the concept of sin, that everybody is condemned under sin, and it finally ends with Paul even condemning himself in sin. It's like we've entered down into this valley about sin. And I believe, by the way, that the world around us reveals what sin is like. You know, the Bible tells us that nature itself speaks of God. The vastness of our universe speaks of the tremendous size of God. The intricateness, the subatomic world, all of those things speak of the details of God. God can create this universe, but he measures it with the span of his hands, which is how enormous he is, and yet he loves you as an individual, and you are one of how many billions living upon this earth, and yet God knows you and walks with you. That's the tremendous aspect of God. But creation also speaks of the fall and of death. When you look at the world and you see the violence, the death, the bloodshed in the world, I'm not talking human right now, by the way. When you just see the violent nature of the earth, you look at the cheetah that attacks the antelope and kills it. When you look at dolphins, you know, it's funny because dolphins are these animals that are spoken of as being kind of peaceful animals. Do you know how dolphins feed? They kill other fish and they eat them. It's very violent. They first of all run into them and they, you know, knock them silly. And then while they're flopping around helpless, they chew them and they eat them. So when the pacifist who says, I'm becoming one with the world and I don't believe in violence, then you don't understand our world if that is the case. Because our world is full of violence. If you really want to become one with the world, go get a gun, shoot a deer. Now you're one with the world. Now you've become one with the universe because that is the violent state of our earth. But remember, death came into the world after sin. So when we look at the violence of nature, we are looking at the result of sin. It reveals to us what sin brings in our lives. If we do not get a handle on it, it is going to bring that kind of devastation into our lives if we don't begin to walk in the Spirit. So God wants us to learn to walk in the Spirit. Now, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? We are to spend time with God. The Holy Spirit is inside of us, and we are to spend time with Him. And the more we walk in the Spirit, the more we become like Him. Have you ever noticed that people who begin to hang out together, they begin to be like each other? Have you noticed that? You have a friend, you hang out with them, then you meet another one of their friends, and you go, are you guys the same person? Because you guys talk exactly the same. And husbands and wives, it happens with them, doesn't it? They become like each other. And the more time we walk with the Spirit, the more we are going to become like God. But many believers end up walking in the flesh rather than in the Spirit. Now, how is it that I can walk in the Spirit? Well, verses 5 through 8 give us the description of what it takes to break away from the flesh and begin to walk in the Spirit of God. Look at verse 5. It says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." So first of all, what kind of things are you listening to? What kind of conversations are you having? What kind of things do you think about? What kind of books do you read? What kind of television do you watch? What kind of movies do you go to? Now, I want to be very careful here because I don't want to become legalistic. See, if we become legalistic, then we've got this list of rules that we fall into and we become religious. And Christianity is not about religion, praise God. Christianity is about a relationship with the living God. But here is the truth. If I'm thinking about things that are fleshful, sinful, if I'm watching things that are sinful, putting those things into my mind, if I'm reading them, if I'm looking them up on the web, if my conversations with people and the friendships that I have are of the flesh, then that's what's planted inside of me. And if that's what's planted inside of me, that's what's going to grow in the future. So that who you are a year from now is not based on what you do a year from now. Who you are a year from now is based upon what you do today. And who you are today, the kind of things that your mind says and thinks, the kind of responses that you have, you operate by the flesh, you move quickly by the flesh, it is because of the things that you planted a year ago. So as we begin to look ahead, we want to make sure that we plant today what needs to be planted. It's very much like planting a tree in your backyard. You say, there's a perfect spot for a fruit tree in our backyard. We're going to go ahead and plant one. And so you plant a very small tree. How long is it going to take before that tree begins to produce fruit? It's going to take several years, depending on the tree, before it begins to produce fruit. And if you say, I really want an orange, I want to be able to go out in the backyard and collect oranges, but you plant an apple tree, you are never going to get oranges from that apple tree. Now, you might plant your apple tree and go, I'm hoping, I'm crossing my fingers, and I'm hoping that I'm going to get oranges from that apple tree. Idiot. If you want oranges, plant an orange tree. And in time, you're going to get oranges from it. But you can never get oranges from an apple tree. So why, if we understand that, no one's going to do that, right? No one's going to say, I want oranges, therefore I'm going to plant apples. No one's going to do it. But why in the spiritual don't we understand that? Why is it that we can say, I want the Spirit in my life? I want to be led by the Spirit. I want to be filled by the Spirit. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want the fruit of the Spirit in my life, but I'm so into the flesh. And I'm hoping I'm going to be, you're not. You're going to find yourself struggling with the same things down the road, the same things you're struggling with today, because your mind is set on the things of the flesh. If you want to change them, then you have got to change what you're thinking about. You've got to change what you're watching. Now, there are three things in the world. There's those things which are bad for you, the flesh. There's those things that are good for you, the spirit. And then there's neutral things. Not all of us struggle with just fleshly things. Some of us spend all of our times doing things that don't really matter. I liken it to food. There's junk food, and I don't have to give you categories of what junk food is. You guys know that. I don't have to tell you the restaurants that sell junk food. You guys know that as well. But you can't eat junk food for 30 years and expect to be healthy. Am I right? At some point, you go, I gotta start eating healthy. So you start eating fruits and vegetables and grilled fish instead of deep-fried fish and so on and so forth. So there's food that's bad for you, junk food, and there's food that's good for you. And you understand, if I eat this healthy food, I'm going to be healthier. If I eat bad food, I'm going to be unhealthy. But there's also food that's like nothing. Like a few years ago when my wife had some rice cakes. And I decided one night I wanted to eat it. And I ate it, and it was like nothing. It's like it had no taste. It was a little crunchy. That was about it. I'm persuaded that I could have ate a truckload of those rice cakes and died of starvation. They had nothing in them that would in any way, shape, or form help me. Now, the same thing is true spiritually. There's those things of the flesh, and we all know what those are. I don't need to go over a list of them. As I talk about your mind set on the things of the flesh, you know what kind of things of the flesh your mind is set upon. And there are the things of the Spirit. As you pray and read the Word of God and listen to worship music and listen to teachings, as you take advantage of the time, redeeming the time because days are short. But there are also things that are just neutral. They're like rice cakes. Doesn't really matter in the end. And I found that that often is what keeps me from walking in the Spirit. Oftentimes for me, it can be the things of the flesh, but oftentimes it's that I get so engrossed in something that absolutely doesn't matter. For me, years ago, I was the youth pastor in Calvary Chapel of Albuquerque, and I had a full-time job, I had a business, and I also was the youth pastor. And so I had very little time to prepare for those kids. After one particular youth night, I felt really bad because it just went poorly. I just felt like, you know what, I don't think the Spirit of God moved, I don't think anybody got touched or fed, and I didn't put into it what I needed to. I just didn't put time into it. And it was because I had gotten a fish tank, of all things. Now, none of my Christian friends said, don't you get a fish tank. It's going to hurt you spiritually. And I don't know what it is about me. Why? I don't understand me. How can I sit and stare at a bubbler in a fish tank for hours? Blah, 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 blah. And then I'm not satisfied to just have a fish tank? For me, I had to breed them. I wanted to breed and sell betas. In fact, I was persuaded I could become rich if I breeded and sold betas. And so I read a book on it. I did it. And then when they hatch, you got to get them out of there because mom and dad are cannibals and they will eat their offspring. And so that's part of the fallen nature, by the way. That's part of the revelation of the fallen nature. And so I had to take them out. I had to put each one of them in their own cup because not only will mom and dad eat them, but they will eat each other if they get the opportunity to. And so I literally had hundreds of cups all around my house. Coffee table, every bit of countertop, everything all around our apartment. This is the first apartment me and Lisa had cups that had fish in them all the way around. I had to go feed every single fish there was all around. And then I got interested in them, the fish. That one's red with blue fins. That one's blue with red fins. That one's all red. That one's purple. That one doesn't have any color. Ooh, that, you know, that's what I did. So I'm leaving that night, and I just have the conviction of the Spirit. The Lord just spoke to me and said, get rid of those stupid fish. Not that they were sin, right? There's nothing sinful about it. It simply did not edify me spiritually or allow me to be used by God in the life of those kids, which at that point in time in my life, God had put them in my care. And I got rid of them. Another example of that is the television. A couple of years after we got married, again, I'm still the youth pastor, and I'm having some trouble shutting the TV off and doing my study. No, we have a TV today in our house, by the way, because whenever I tell this story, I get people who will say, well, Pastor Robert doesn't have a TV. We need to get rid of our TV. All right, we have a TV in our house. But at that particular time, I was having trouble shutting the TV off just to do the study. And so I asked my wife, can we get rid of the TV? And she said, sure. She always wants to get rid of the TV anyway. So it was fine for her to get rid of the TV, which was great for me because now I couldn't turn on, you know, whatever I was watching. You know, there was a show, White Shadow, and I like to watch Little House on the Prairie. Certainly not things people could call sinful or fleshly, but I'm watching them, and they're like a rice cake. There's no edification taking place here, you know? There's just nothing happening. And so I get rid of the TV, and I pour more into the kids. I'm doing my studies now. I'm finishing them up. It's like helpful for me to do that. What's really funny is that I got prideful within a couple of weeks. Within a couple of weeks, somebody asked me, hey, did you see this game the other night? I said, no, I don't have a TV in my house. I'm a Christian. Now, what's really funny about that, it is because of my weakness that I got rid of the TV. You might not have a weakness at all. You may be doing all the praying and reading and seeking God and spiritual things in your life and still have a TV, but because of my weakness, I got rid of the TV and I turned that into pride. That's just the way we are. My point here is simply this. We have great liberty in Christ. There's a whole world full of things that you can do. You can spend your free time this week involved in things of the flesh, involved in things that don't matter, which sometimes it's good. I'm not saying that there's not anything that is possible. Sometimes it's good to check out your brain. I need that from time to time. I need to just do something that, you know, doesn't require me to think in general, and just whatever it is, and it's very neutral. But when our lives become consumed in that, well, what does it matter? You know, if you enjoyed a bowl, go out and bowl. Have a great time. If your goal in life is to have an average of 250, I don't know. Spiritually, there may be something better for you to do when you get up to heaven. Lord, I bowled a 250. Okay. I don't know how good it is for, you know, the spiritual aspect. So we want to avoid the things of the flesh. We want to take advantage of the time that we have to take those things that are edifying and bring them into our lives. Now, he goes on to give his argument on why we need to stay away from the things of the flesh. He says in verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, that's pretty strong, isn't it? To be carnally minded brings death into our lives, but to be spiritually minded brings life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. We find ourselves in a battle against God when we set our mind on the things of the flesh. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You have to get into the Spirit to please God. It is impossible to please Him by the flesh. I don't care how what you do is good on a human level, you cannot please God in the flesh.
We hope that Practical Christian Living helps you to live God's Word, that we might be doers and not just hearers. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, go to calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings from our weekday and weekend services at Calvary Tucson, and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast of Practical Christian Living. You can donate simply and securely. Here's how. Log on to calvarytucson.com. Click on Donate, then select PCL Radio. Or you can mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive. That's J-U-L-I-A-N Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. And when you donate $25 or more, we'll send you a copy of Pastor Daniel Fusco's book, Honestly. In it, Daniel reminds us that even when life gets messy and unpredictable, Jesus is still there, and Jesus is real. Thanks for supporting and listening to Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We pray that you come to know the grace and peace that can only come from Jesus, and that you would walk closer with Him every day.